Join me once again in the book of Ephesians and this sixth chapter. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the absolutes that you have given to us, contained only in your word. We ask you to help us now today as we continue this search of your word that you've provided, this armor that you have given to us, so that in the face of principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places, Lord, you want us to stand. We want to stand. We want to defend the truth that you have given. We want to love it and lay down our lives if necessary for it. Thank you for our brethren of the past that have. Thank you for those that in our day are suffering for the cause of this truth. So we ask you to bless us today. Give us fresh boldness in the Holy Ghost to stand for truth. We ask it for the name and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And amen. I repeat again that there are these two truths that run parallel in the divine will and plan of God and that are defined in this text. First of all, again, I say to you that we are to recognize and receive the strength and power supplied by our Lord Jesus Christ that are declared in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then the results of applying all that has been provided as armor for us, we're to stand our ground. Even in the face of forces that are deceptive and cruel, great in number, great in strength. But we again rely on the testimony of God's word that greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. We continue our thoughts on this unmovable object. Truth. It is unmovable. It is fixed. It is slandered. There's no question about that. The idea is an idea that is mocked. Immediately comes to probably your mind is our Lord Jesus as he stands before Pilate. Pilate questioning him about himself. And then the Lord Jesus saying, well, it's to this end that I was born. For this cause came I into this world. What a declaration that is. I wonder if Pilate actually heard that statement, that I came into this world. And Jesus said, all those that are of the truth, hear my voice. To which you remember Pilate's retort, what is truth? What is truth? The world has always had its philosophy and philosophers. Whatever Pilate had studied or learned, whatever he had observed in the course of his life, made him what is, in the eyes of many in our day, pure cynical in their thought and response to someone like you who says that there is an absolute truth. And so from that conversation, Pilate steps out into the audience of the scribes and the Pharisees and the high priests and says, I find in him no fault. But it's not said, but it's true. Pilate could neither say, I find no light. The light had stood before him. And though it was mocked by Pilate with these words, I found a quote here from the author who wrote the Christmas carol that we enjoy singing, O Little Town of Bethlehem. It was Phillips Brooks that wrote that Christmas carol that we sing. And he made this statement in regards to truth. He said, truth is always strong, no matter how weak it looks. And falsehood is always weak, no matter how strong it looks. I thought that was a good statement. So as the Lord Jesus stood before him as the truth, and all those that were of the truth would hear his voice, and yet he appeared there in weakness, didn't he? Already having been beaten, spit upon, his beard plucked, already having endured such humiliation, truth appeared to be weak. And Pilate stood before him and said, don't you know I have the power to put you to death? To which you remember what the Lord Jesus said. You have no power. You have no power. Except it were given you from above. So the falsehood thought itself to be strong, but it was weak. Our scripture tells us here we're to have our loins girt about with truth. And while the devil attacks truth and the world mocks it, God has established that absolute truth. A number of years ago when I was studying under Pastor Reno, we had this conversation and he reminded me, and I remind you, that there are three New Testament definitions of truth. Jesus said in John chapter 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth, excuse me, I am the way, the truth, and the life. First, New Testament definition, Jesus is the truth. The second definition, he said, is found in the person of God's Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Jesus is the truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And Jesus says in John chapter 17 and verse 17, as he prays, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Truth, if it's truth, has always existed. never been a time when truth did not exist. Because truth is to be found in God and God alone. God's Word and God's Word alone. And He has magnified His Word even above all of His name, as we read last Lord's Day in our worship out of Psalm 138. Revelation of truth is found in Jesus Christ. The revelation of truth is from the Holy Spirit, who reveals that truth to us. And the revelation is by the Word of God. You can have the Word of God laying in your lap, but without the power of God's Holy Ghost, it will not come alive to the soul. It takes the presence and the power of the Spirit of the living God to make that truth come alive to us. But our question this morning is, the Scripture tells us that we're to have our loins girt about with truth. We ask the question, well, how do we actually gird our loins with truth? Let me begin to answer that by asking you to turn, first of all, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul writes and he says here in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 1, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." If we're to gird up, as Peter would say, the loins of our mind, if our loins are to be girt about with truth, we again remind ourselves that is the battle for the mind that we have every day. Sister Kay gave testimony to that just a few moments ago. There's not a day that goes by that we're not inundated in our minds to think incorrectly, to think wrong, not to think biblically. And it's a challenge to our flesh. Our Bible tells us in Galatians that the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have discovered that to be an absolute. Is that an absolute truth? It is indeed an absolute. It is an unmovable object as long as we are in this body. So it is in the battle of the mind that we are engaged. And the apostle writing here says, "I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted." I want to answer this morning as we're considering having our loins girt about with truth. The scripture that God has stirred my heart with is one you probably have memorized as well. Now, we know the battles for the mind. We know that the Apostle Paul is writing to the church and he is telling them, "My desire for you is to present you as a chaste virgin." In other words, I want to see you pure in body and mind, as you finally someday come into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to present you as a pastor to your soul. I want to see you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, pure in heart and mind. And he said, I fear. I know there's a battle for your mind. Turn with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. We know that the Apostle Paul is an imprisoned Christian. As he writes here in the book of, writes the book to, the letter to Philippi, he is a prisoner. He is a man in chains, but he's a man of victory. He's a man of expectation. He's a man of faith. He's a man of confidence. And he is encouraging these in the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians. Those that may find themselves in conflict, they need to rejoice. Those that find themselves full of care, they need to pray. And those that are not thinking right, they need a brain adjustment, a mind adjustment. Verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. It is the first line, may I say, of defense, and I believe rightfully so, that the Holy Spirit has the Apostle Paul begin with this piece of the armor. The Apostle Paul tells us, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And as he writes to the believers at Philippi, he says to them, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, true to fact. As you have either watched the news or heard a report on the radio, invariably in our day and time, journalists have been taught to ask certain questions. And you hear this question over, regardless of whatever the circumstance may be, at some point in the interview, they're going to ask what they have been taught to ask, and it is this question: how does that make you feel? I hear that and I want to reach into that television and grab that journalist and shake him. We have been driven to be driven by feelings. I think it would be better for the right question to ask is, how does that make you think? Because we're not given to think anymore, to observe and draw conclusions from events. They want to know, how does that make you feel? Well, the Apostle Paul here is not going to allow the church at Philippi to run to their feelings. He says, well, your feelings are feelings of care. Well, be careful for nothing. Don't let that feeling of care overwhelm you, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, well, what will it do? It'll keep your heart and mind. Brethren, he says, finally, here's what you need to be doing. You need, of whatsoever things are true, this is what you need to think about. Some of you have read scripture here this morning as you've tried to encourage one another and how God has ministered to you in the course of this week. How are we going to stand against the wiles of the devil? How does he assault us and attack us? Last week, we looked at the battle for truth. And we know that Satan attacks the veracity of God. He attacks the very words of the living God. He attacks the character of God. Well, we are constantly in need to readjust our thinking and to come back to the truth that God cannot lie. God cannot lie. And God is the source of this truth. And he sent his Son. Just as we've said, these three New Testament definitions, the Son is the definition of truth, the Holy Ghost is the definition of truth, and the very written scriptures are the definition of truth. They are absolutes, they are unmovable, they cannot change because they are truth. And yet in our minds, truth comes under assault. It comes under assault from our flesh. It comes under assault from these that are called principalities and powers who give such suggestions attacking God. And so this battle for our minds, Paul says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. True by scriptural instruction. True by scriptural definition, and true by scriptural memorization. You and I need to be storing up God's truth to our hearts, don't we? And aren't you glad for God's word that has been memorized? That in the moment of assault and attack, you can call, just as Brother Rick said, when Satan came to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Rick just kind of called it as it was. He said, that was a lie. The suggestion of the enemy was a lie. Have you ever absolutely, in a moment of temptation, just told the devil, that's a lie. I'm not going to accept that. I'm doing that increasingly. I'm having to tell my flesh, that's a lie. I'm not going to accept that. I'm not going to believe that. I'm going to turn from that. And so God has given to us his word. Thank the Lord for the men that preached to me and taught me and instructed me so that I would no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Oh, and I've had that truth hammered to my soul, and I've told you of my mother, how faithful she was. So truth has been given to our hearts by way of instruction. That's why we want to carefully teach our children, our grandchildren. They need to hear the truth, even if they're not saved. They need to have the Word of God stored up to their heart. That's why it's even good to catechize children. Who made you? God made me. What else did God make? God made all things. He made everything. And so going through and teaching truth to our children. So look at the condition of the world. We've pulled the Bible out. We've pulled God out. There's always been murderers, but we've got more murders today than ever before. There's been abuse and rape, but it's increasing, isn't it? As God's word has been set aside, all these sins are growing and growing and growing in the population and in the culture. So, instruction. If the word of God, if truth is to be laid to our heart by scriptural instruction, then we need to study and examine and re-examine and study again and examine and re-examine the great words of truth. Just let me read for you what very often is preached in a missions conference. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. What book did I just read from? Where's that scripture found? Romans. What chapter? Nope. Romans chapter 1. What verse? 16 and 17. How important is it for us to have these scriptures in our hearts and minds? And we study these great words. Isn't the word salvation a great word? We sang in the Sunday school hour this morning, I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. We do not tire of hearing the wonderful, blessed story of the gospel, because it is the gospel of our salvation. And these words, such words as salvation, such words as believeth, not just to believe, but to continue to believe, such words as righteousness, the whole book of Romans, establishing the righteousness of God. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of it. It's the power of God unto salvation. He says, for therein, within that salvation, is the righteousness of God revealed. Why is that important? Because God will not have sinful man come into the presence of a righteous and holy God unless he comes in a righteousness that God will accept. And that righteousness can only be accepted in his blessed Son. So we study the terms that God has given to us, so that when the enemy may come, why, you can stand, you have your loins girt about with this truth of righteousness. And you can tell the devil, no. You can tell your own flesh, no. I'm going to stand in what is right. I'm going to rest on what is right. I'm going to think on what is right. How about the word, and I'll read to you. I'm looking here in Romans chapter 3. As the Apostle Paul has concluded that all are under sin, he says, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Paul says there in Philippians, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true. We run back to that that's true. We run back to God the Son. We run back to God the Holy Ghost. We run back to the living word, the written word of the living God. And we embrace such words as righteousness. And here in chapter Romans chapter 3, another big word is given, justified or justification. How about the word propitiation? These are words that are truth. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true. And so in the course of our Christian walk, we have been taught these things, but we don't, they're not a list on a page that we check off and say, oh yes, I know what righteousness is. Oh yes, I know what justification is. Oh yes, I know what propitiation is. No. We don't just merely check them off as things that we have heard and we can give some measure of definition to. No, we're to meditate on these things. We're to finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, think, continue to think, meditate on these things. And so we take the instruction of the, and we study the terms that God has given in his own word. How about the word impute? Aren't you glad? That's an Old Testament word. Wasn't for that Old Testament word, we wouldn't understand what Jesus did and how the righteousness of the Son of God could be laid to our account. But Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Having your loins girt about with truth. Truth. Truth is the reality, as Vine defines this in his Greek word that I often turn to. He says, truth is the reality lying at the basis of an appearance. Truth is the reality lying at the basis of an appearance. We look at the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross. What's the truth behind that? The truth behind it is that I'm an awful sinner, and God has provided a glorious Savior. We're to think long. We're to think deep. And so the apostle there in Philippians 4 says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true. And then he adds to that, whatsoever things are honest. Semnos, the Greek word, meaning that's venerable. I remind you that when the church needed some organization so that the widows would have their care met, the apostles said, well, you need to look out seven men who are of an honest. The literal rendering of that could be those that having had witness borne. Search out seven men that are of honest report. The apostle says to us, we need to adjust our thinking to the things that are true and to the things that are honest, the things that have been borne out. As that can be trusted, venerable, semnos. Now, having said that, we know that God has purposed for us to be a people that live by truth. What are we saying here? These two things are running together. These two parallel truths. Number one, Jesus Christ has provided to us, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We're to stand in that strength, but then we're to apply it. But we not only apply truth to us and hold it in our minds, we're to think on it, we're to meditate on it, we're to receive it. We've received it as instruction. We've received it as counsel. But if that's all we ever do, if all we ever do is simply memorize truth, and it never changes the heart, what do we have? We have a Pharisee. Truth to the mind will govern the affections. The Greeks viewed the loins as the seat of affections. And so our knowledge is to eventually affect our affections. For love's sake, what will people do? What will love do in a mother's heart for a child? So love the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. All of these things, to have our loins girt about with truth, is to reestablish a right thinking for the mind. And so at every point, we have truth that readjusts our location. I read something. I'm going to read something to you that I found that maybe will hammer this point home. There's a, years ago, I don't know if this is still in existence, but the Naval Institute has a magazine called Proceedings. And a naval officer by the name of Frank Coach wrote this story that was contained in this magazine. And he writes, two battleships assigned to a training squadron had been at sea on maneuvers in heavy weather for several days. I was serving on the lead battleship and was on watch at the bridge as night fell. The visibility was poor with patchy fog, so the captain remained on the bridge keeping an eye on all activities. Shortly after dark, the lookout on the wing of the bridge reported, "Light, bearing on starboard bow." The captain said, "Is it steady or moving astern?" The captain said. The lookout replied, "Steady, captain," which meant we were on a dangerous collision course with that ship. The captain then called to the signalman, "Signal that ship. We are on a collision course. Advise you change course 20 degrees. Back came the signal, "Advisable for you to change course 20 degrees. The captain said, "Send, I'm a captain. Change course 20 degrees. The answer came back, "I'm a petty officer, second class. You change course 20 degrees. And by that time, the captain was furious. He spat out, "Send, I'm a battleship. Change course 20 degrees. Came back the flashing light, "I'm a lighthouse. He said we changed course 20 degrees. This is what God's word does for us. How often, and we think of so many in our families, they've heard, they've seen light, but they refuse to change course. God's truth is immovable. It will not change. It won't change for you. It won't change for our families. God will not change His plan for anyone. We're the ones who come to the truth. And what does it do for us? It causes us to change course. Change course. Because it will not move. God will not move. So we stand to this instruction week after week. How are our loins girt about with truth? By seeing that that is immovable. It will not change. And we recognize that God would change us. And we're encouraged by that, because we see how God does change us. And we are a people growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But having our loins girt about with truth is the same idea that Peter writes when he says, and the loins of your mind. May God help us with all of the accusations of the world and the challenges and the scoffing of the world around us. Stand for truth. Stand for what's right. Very often you'll encounter that in your own family. I told you this morning, as Noemi had asked us to pray for a young lady. And in that family, one of the sisters has divorced her husband and married another woman. Well, that sister that is a Christian has told her sister, who is living in this violation of God's law, says, "I love you, and you're welcome to come to my home anytime, but you will not bring this other person with you. I'll not have that sin and confusion in my home and to my children. I'm going to stand for what's right, regardless of the cost. Having your loins girt about with truth." May God encourage us and help us. Store up the scripture, memorize it, and at every point that the wiles of the devil come against us, these principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness that are in high places, and all of their assault, come back as Jesus did with the truth of the Word of God. You've been instructed in it. Stand in it. You've laid it up and memorized it. Stand in it. And at every point that you need to change course, change and repent for the glory of God. Heavenly Father, thank you again. Thank you for the truth of the gospel. And we would ask, as Paul also wrote there in the church, to the church at Philippi, but let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us in this day of confused minds for us to stand by what is truth. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close singing hymn number 390 this morning. Hymn number 390. Would you join me standing as we close, singing all six verses of this short little song? Hymn number 390, "May the Mind of Christ My Savior."
May the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day. By His love and power controlling all I do and say. May the Word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour, so that all may see I triumph only through His power. May the peace of God, my Father, rule my life in everything, that I may be calm to comfort sick and sorrowing. May the love of Jesus fill me as the waters fill the sea, him exalting, self-abasing, this is victory. May I run the race before me, strong and brave to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus as I onward go. May his beauty rest upon me as I seek the lost to win, and may they forget the channel, seeing only him.
So, Father, to that end we would pray that the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ might control us in every way. Bless us now, we ask. Fill us with the Holy Ghost, the Word of God, the love of Christ. And may this morning we know the breadth and length and depth and height, and Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith. Bless us now, we pray. Help us to stand in this day of confusion and lies on what is absolute, the truth of God's Word. We ask these mercies and blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.